actually unscripted, we got a call during the break from my transaction coordinator at the office, Suzanne, to tell me that she received the paperwork and she actually had the check for the closing. So I hung up on her and I thought, oh, should have kept her on the air and done the same thing that we did with Pat White. But we have our guest on the line. As I said, he is a Seattle-based architect, co-founder of Hybrid Architecture in Seattle. And I read him about this article of them taking shipping containers, metal shipping containers, and building cottages and office buildings. And he's been doing it for close to a decade and coined the term cargo texture to describe this method of construction. And he's been gracious enough to get on the phone with me from Seattle the last day of the year. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Joel Egan.
Thank you, Mark. That was a good introduction.
Thank you. Thank you. I was watching a long time ago at the building of the largest cruise ship in the world. It was going to be the largest cruise ship in the world. And they were building all these rooms offshore, and they were complete. And they just on the outside, it was like a Lego set. And they just basically brought them in and slid them in. And then the electrician and the plumbers almost just had to snap them together. And so when I read about what you were doing, I'm very curious to see, of course, you're starting with metal boxes that have no holes, airtight. So and one of the things you say here is that 95% of the cost of building still remains. But I'm wondering if there's any analogy between this building of the cruise ship and what you do.
Well, there really is. The way that cruise ships are done is they have a frame inside of them, which is structural and integral to the ship. I mean, I'm just going from the pictures that I've seen as well. And they complete the hotel rooms or the, you know, cabins and slide them into this frame. Now, the difference with the cargo containers and all real modular projects is there is no frame. The frame is inside the shell of the modules, the boxes that you bring to the site. So our firm Hybrid does different wood modular and cargo container modular and steel modular, which isn't containers. And when we do the containers, and actually when we do all of them, the structure is actually in the shell. And so really there's quite a bit of kitting that needs to be done on the site when you crane them in place, even including the exterior siding sometimes. But
Why do you have to make a joke about it? A lot of kitting? What does that mean?
Oh, kitting. K-I-T-T-I-N-G.
Kitting. I never heard that term. What does that mean?
Oh, boy, okay. Yeah, I'm not... You're kidding.
I'm kidding.
No, in fact, kitting is referring to taking whole sections of your interior house. Picture your entire kitchen being built, just as one box, and then slid it. That's a kit, and then sliding that kit into your house. So one could say that the cruise ships have their rooms kitted and slipped into them, but in the case of a lot of factory built projects, that's happening over and over again at a much smaller scale than the house itself.
I gotcha. I want to get into, of course, talking detail about the metal steel containers, but you mentioned you also do wood module, and I'm thinking I did an interview with someone down out of LA are you referring to, I think we call it prefab homes?
Well, yes, prefab is, and you know, your listeners may want to learn this, that prefabrication, prefabricated houses describes a huge spectrum. Lots of people say their stuff is prefabricated, but it can either be little kit pieces, or it can be panel, or it can be module, or it can be a relocatable or wheeled module, and there's a whole spectrum there. So some people will say, well, and prefab is a big umbrella. It describes all these terms. But, you know, you hear that the Sears kit homes were prefabricated. And that's true. They showed up in a box of pre-cut lumber with marks on it back in the, 1870s and 1880s. And your whole family would put together your house based on this set of drawings and an old lumber drop. So, supposedly that was prefabricated. Now, on the other end of the prefabrication scale, or anything modular and anything relocatable as a module. And those things are built complete in the factory.
And when you're dealing with these steel shipping containers, again, guest Joel Egan, co-founder of Hybrid Architecture out of Seattle, Where does that fit into the spectrum of prefab?
It's a little, because the containers have some special features that Wood Modular doesn't, they're actually a little farther away from kits. They can, you know, obviously they can stack and everything like that. They are, they're relocatable. They're easily relocatable, and that's what makes them different than typical modules. I mean, they're the largest relocated object on the planet. And, you know, if some of your listeners are driving, if you ever pass a container, sometimes the big ones will say 53 feet on the side of them. That's the big American. It's 450 square feet in a box. And it's only in the United States and maybe Canada. It's a huge box. And that is the largest relocatable object, commonly relocated object on the planet. That's the big one.
So 53 feet times, or by what would give you 450 square feet?
8 foot 6.
8 foot 6?
Yep. The larger ones, the ones that are 48 and 53 feet long, are 8 foot 6 wide. And all the rest of them are 8 feet wide. And the reason for that is that when they ship the containers back to Asia, they Russian doll them. They slip one inside of another. Just barely they fit with inches of clearance. But, of course, the containers are all built the same. So yeah, the bigger ones are a little wider to accommodate another container inside them.
It's kind of interesting that there was an article I have here that I was been meaning to interview someone about. It goes back earlier in 2012, and it's nothing new, but New York City is looking into the urban dwelling of the future, studio apartments measuring no more than 300 square feet. And so it's an interesting topic of people needing very little to survive. Now, when you're using these containers, 450 square feet each, you're not just using them usually as a singular occupancy. You're combining them to do other things, right?
Well, that's true, and I should correct any assumptions. So we use the 53s. We don't use 53-foot containers that often. They're just hard to get your hands on. They're owned by the shipping companies. But the other ones that we get our hands on are common. They're 20 and 40 feet long. Sometimes they're 24 if they're from Hawaii. And, yes, we've built homes much smaller than 450 square feet. We've built a complete home in less than 200 square feet in a 24-foot container. It was 192 square feet, and it has flipped down Murphy beds on the wall and a convertible sofa so that really three adults or two parents and two kids can sleep in this one 200 square foot home. It's got everything.
I sold a studio, a condominium downtown Santa Barbara to some clients that's actually huge compared to what you're talking about, 760 square feet. And it has a huge bathroom and a huge entryway and a huge kitchen and then this main room. And I desperately tried to convince them to get a Murphy bed because of all the movies I used to see with these Murphy beds. I thought they were the greatest. But alas, they did not take my advice.
Murphy beds are cool. They certainly can make the space when you need it.
Right. Well, their concern was that, you know, you have the space, but then when you drop the bed down, you have to move whatever was in the space to drop the bed down. But my thought was, well, even if nothing's there, it's just visually open space. Mm-hmm. You could dance and then drop the bed down.
Yes. Yeah.
That was my idea, but they didn't listen to me out. So they had their own architect actually. So talking about cargo containers, and one of the articles I saw was you can get quite massive. I think it was something out of Providence, Rhode Island.
Those guys.
Yeah.
We're all colleagues. I mean, at this point, we all kind of know each other. There's a handful, maybe 10 of us around the world who are doing this over and over and over again. And so, yeah, that's Distill Studio out of Providence, Rhode Island. And they did something called Office Box, I believe was the name they gave it. And, yes, it's really quite a few colored containers that are moving past each other. In a really good texturous form, and that's a project over in Rhode Island.
Right, and it was three stories, 12,000 square feet.
Yep.
There was another one out of Detroit that was four stories, 20 units, 93 stacked cargo containers. So for you, I mean, it's, you say that 95% of the cost still remains.
Yes, it's true. I mean, if you think about it, you could put together a container house in your mind one of two ways. You could look at a container and say, hey, wow, that container, it looks like a modular house. You know, oh, just a few things in there, and I can move right in. Another way to think about it would be, think of your house, and then think of the things that the cargo container will replace. And if you live in a single-story house, then at the end of the day, it's the exterior siding you'll be replacing. So because the container doesn't come with a water heater, it doesn't come with insulation, electric, plumbing, kitchen, it doesn't come with any of those things. So you still have to build a house into it. Now, the flip side to it is, or the advantage actually to using containers is that they are really prepared for prefabrication, and prefabrication can lead to huge scale with good quality control, and scale with good quality control, while scale on its own can bring costs down dramatically. Now, that isn't happening quite yet. I can't see the future. Is it 5 years from now, or is it 10 years from now? Prefabrication and prefabricated modular houses, both containers and wood modular houses, are getting a lot more attention lately. You see all these stories about big buildings and different agencies that want these things. So it's really starting to take off, and the scale of the factories isn't quite there yet, but it will be on the very first job, just because these factories are doing wood modular projects right now. So the future is cost savings, but the current condition is one-off.
Well, I'll tell you, I see in Santa Barbara, I've been into some what you might call modular homes, and really, you know, by the time you finish it, you can't tell. I mean, there might be some characteristics to the trained eye that you can kind of say, oh, that's probably a modular home, but mm-hmm. it's not. I think people probably snubbed their noses at it in the past, but like you say, it's really a changing and viable alternative depending on where you're building. I was in a house in Santa Barbara, and they had a guest house in the back. It was a detached office. It was a guest house. And it turned out it was a shipping container. And it was, you know, if you're putting it in your backyard, if you have a huge enough yard where you can wheel it back there, you know, then maybe in that case, instead of 95% of the cost remaining, maybe you can get away with doing something a lot less expensive if you're maybe doing it on your own and just cutting in a window and putting in a little simple heater or something like that.
Well, that's true. And you know, Hybrid has done them at 160 square feet where they didn't have any plumbing or anything like that. And those can be had pretty affordably. Really, it just comes down to the more expensive components of a small house, and they are the glazing and the kitchen and plumbing. Those can double the price of a container house, that's for sure, if you're just starting with an office. So just because the houses are small.
How thick are the containers? Like, what does it take to cut a window, a square out of it or something?
I've done it myself with a skill saw and a good pair of earplugs. But, you know, typically they do it with a plasma cutter, which is a welding tool of some sort.
Oh. Yeah, for some reason in my head I was thinking welding tool, but didn't even think about just a saw. So they're not terrible, they're not horribly thick, they're not...
Well, you need the right blade to do it. We did, and, you know, it makes a terrible racket to use a skill saw with it, but you can do it.
Right. Right, I remember I had a drop down ladder, known as maybe a ship's ladder, you know, to mm-hmm. get to the attic, and it was an aluminum drop down ladder, and he had to cut off the ends to just make it fit properly, and it was just very thin and just very small area, and it was a horrible, horrible noise.
Yeah, that's just thin steel. This stuff is a little thicker than that.
Oh yeah, I bet. Talking with Joel Egan, he's a co-founder of Hybrid Architecture out of Seattle. And specializing in building cottages and office buildings using shipping containers. I've been doing it for close to a decade, and I like the way he's coined the term cargo texture. That's a pretty cool term, and You'll lay claim to it until someone argues with you, I suppose.
Oh, no, it's a registered trademark belonging to me, so.
Oh, good job.
No one's going to argue with me on that one.
Good job. Well, I'm not going to use the word that often.
No, no, we have to, go ahead. It's fine.
It can be a charge for
logism. We just didn't want it taken away from us. But I coined the term after we founded our firm, and my business partner and I, in 2003, where we were part of a competition team that was describing Seattle, City of Seattle's waterfront, where we have a double-decker highway, as a lot of cities will. Only ours runs currently right down on the waterfront. And the state of Washington is digging a tunnel under the City of Seattle, and when that tunnel is ready, they'll open the tunnel and demolish this viaduct. So the issue with this double-decker viaduct is it's blocking all of our beautiful waterfront from us. So we entered, you know, long process in Seattle, 2003, and we still haven't torn down the viaduct. But in 2003, there were competitions for what to do with City of Seattle's waterfront after that. And at the south end, we noticed a cargo container facility, and we proposed a live-work light industrial market down there, sort of like Pike Place Market, only grittier, maybe where you get your craftsman house, get the doorknobs, you know, rebuilt, or you buy some chickens, things you can't do in the Pike Place Market. So we proposed a cargo town because we wanted the buildings to be relocatable and the context was good. And when we were done with our competition, people asked us, you know, you're proposing cargo town, got a lot of attention, how do you build it? And we realized there would be, you know, we looked around, there really weren't anybody, there wasn't anyone doing it, and we realized there wouldn't be cargo town without cargo texture. So we set out to build it. And it was around that time that I coined the term. And
love it.
But I think it's fine that it's used as a, I mean.
Love it. Love it. Now, let me ask you this, a couple of quick questions. What, have you ever used one as a basement of a structure?
What are you saying, like bury them underground?
Yes.
Well, I've seen pictures of that. I know that, you know, from time to time people in New Mexico, you know, there's a police raid and they find a container built, you know, underground. And there are things in there that someone didn't want above ground. But, you know, that they don't really perform so well underground. I've seen pictures of other people who've done that, and then the roofs collapse unless you prepare them. They're really strong, but earth is pretty heavy. So
what about the earth on the sides and water and moisture? How would they, let's say you put one in the ground but didn't bury it, but just had it, you know, underneath.
Maybe
you want to make a wine cellar out of it. Let's say you owned a big piece of land.
That'd be a pretty good fit. All you need to do, all I'm saying is, you know, digging a hole and dropping a container in there and pushing earth against it without any engineering at all is probably not a good idea. But to put them underground using a mix with concrete, use them as the formwork or do any sort of reinforcement at all, it's perfectly fine as wine cellars or whatnot.
Something like that. And what,
yeah,
if someone was, you know, thinking that they just wanted to buy one and haul it to their backyard and use it as a storage container, because that's what it is, what would one pay to buy
God.
It and then...
Well, for starters, the land I'll get to that, but land use varies from city to city, and many cities have a whole section of their code on shipping containers and how long they can be in someone's yard and whether there's a maximum size and how close can they be to the property line. And none of those codes, while those codes will allow a shipping container, none of those codes are applicable to a house in a shipping container. So you wouldn't want to go to the cargo container code to determine your cargo container house. If it's a house, it's a house. But with the containers, they can get pretty cheap. Just a basic empty container can be had for, $1,000. But that's a pretty beat-up container. A 40-foot container of 320 square feet typically costs about $2,000. And that's a, you know, decent shape. The door is closed. It doesn't have big rust holes on it. That sort of thing.
I got you. Anyone ever build a hotel or motel out of shipping containers?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I know there's an enormous Amsterdam dormitory in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. That's the world's largest shipping container, multifamily, anything. And, you know, that is supposed to be a relocatable building. We know that guy too. It's a four-story building with, I don't know, some 300 single-wide dorm units. I won't speak to the quality of the space of an 8-foot-wide space that's 40 feet long and a window at either end. You know, that maybe that's just for students, but right. Yeah, there have been big multifamily.
Minimal. When you said Netherlands, I was thinking of Amsterdam and the brothel that they built out of the shipping containers.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Well, not that I've been there, but I thought I heard about it.
Say, are you?
Maybe I'm wrong. My guest today has been Joel Egan, co-founder of Hybrid Architecture out of Seattle, coined the term cargo texture, has been doing it for about 10 years, and methods of construction, buying shipping containers, very unique architecture. Joel, thank you very much for joining me here. The last day of the year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Okay, sir. We'll see you again. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Of course.
All right.
Thanks, and Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Mark Schneibin's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. I was in this house, and it was just a simple, not a big backyard, and the guy had his office back there, and he was going, yeah, this was a shipping container, we got it from here, and I imagine if you're kind of handy, he said you can get one 320 square feet for $2,000, get one that's in good shape. Of course, I didn't ask him what it costs to ship. Of course, you don't have to wrap it. You just kind of send it as it is, right? and maybe what you do is you put stuff in it, and you can do something to at the same time pay for the shipping. Mark Schneibin's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We're going to take a quick break, and in mere minutes, this will be the last program of the year 2012 because we're running out of time. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.